folks. Third hour of War Room is on. I'm going to take your phone calls this hour. I'll open up the phone lines in the next segment, since this first five-minute segment is not picked up by all the radio stations. But this is my real concern, laying out everything that we have so far with the illegal immigration, the and everything, right? It's both the failure of the Trump administration to do anything substantially positive in terms of deportations or, you know, limiting the behavior of the Democrats and doing something to oppose their, you know, political organization and machinations, which, even though they're not in power, seem, you know, more sophisticated and well-run than ours. Like, you know, we are in power. Nobody's investigating anything. Nobody's trying to punish anybody for anything. Anthony Fauci is lying through his teeth, being caught over and over again. Lies that he told the American people that absolutely caused deaths, possibly in the tens of thousands. Mass murderer Anthony Fauci, he's not being punished. Why would you expect Russiagate to be punished? Or literally any of the other 20 or 15 major attacks against the American people that have happened since 2016. And again, I have to ask, like, I genuinely don't know if it would have been better if Donald Trump had just never entered politics. And this is exactly why. This article right here tells you everything you need to know about how the Donald Trump presidency, his entire political project, has not just been a failure. It's like reversing things. It's doing things for our enemies that they can never do without Trump. So the article from Financial Times: Donald Trump is dismantling U.S. guardrails, warns former security officials. Now, it used to be that you'd see an article like this and you just sort of scoff at it because you knew that what Trump was doing was, if anything, too much in line with the law. Right? He's too careful. He's too cautious. He's too unwilling to just do things and then let them fight you back, right? That's how it should work. What should happen is he should give an order. He should pursue a policy. And if they want to try to stop it, okay, now you can have it out in the courts or whatever else. Instead, it seems to be a lot of like, well, if we tried that, they would stop us, so we're not going to do it. Or, yeah, the Democrats did it to us, but we don't want to be like them, do we? It's like, no, I do want aspects of that. No, I do want to go after our enemies. I do want to round them up. I do want to discredit them politically and not let them take power. That's what we voted for. But now you look at a lot of what Trump is doing, and whether it's going to war without government, congressional oversight for significantly longer than the 60-day window that's allowed by the Constitution, or his targeting of the fishing boats off the coast of Venezuela. I mean, these things are extreme overreaches of his power, and yet none of it is being used to help the American people. If Donald Trump was dismantling U.S. guardrails because of his obsessive pursuit of justice, of his obsessive attempts to fulfill the policy promises of his campaign, then I wouldn't care so much about this. But Donald Trump is simultaneously destroying guardrails to centralized governmental power in America and not using it to benefit the Republicans, the American people, or to harm the Democrats and lower their electoral chances. So all he's doing is pissing off the left, invigorating the left, empowering the left, and then removing guardrails to their eventual tyranny once they get back in power because of all the crap that he's pulled. Financially, we're in a terrible spot. We're waging this stupid war for a genocidal state that everybody hates. None of the criminals who did Russiagate or COVID or Black Lives Matter or mail-in ballots and stole the 2020 election, or threw my friends in prison for January 6th, or shuffled money around from criminal enterprise to political activist committee to get DAs elected so they could let all the criminals out. None of that's happening. Nothing for the American people is happening. Instead, he's building a panopticon surveillance grid and systematically removing guardrails to prevent tyranny in this country. And he's going to hand it over to the Democrats. Thanks, Trump. Great job.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Folks, third hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls. 512-266-0642. It is now 5:06 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, the 11th of August, and we are now live taking calls. 512-266-0642 about any of the topics that we've covered or anything you think we may have missed. Give us a call now. 512-266-0642. And do not forget, folks, to go to thealexjonesstore.com to purchase not only our incredible supplements, t-shirts, hats, all that great stuff, but our new product is absolutely going to sell out in no time. May already be sold out at this point, but it's for a very good reason. Not only is it a very cool product, very useful product, but it's also a very, very, very good deal. The whole thing in total, I think, is $39.99, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Liberty Concealed Carry Pack, thealexjonesstore.com. Heavy-duty 500D nylon, water-resistance coating, reinforced construction, heavy-duty zippers, loaded with features including the webbing, the multiple compartments, five interchangeable patches, include a Betsy Ross flag, a Don't Tread on Me flag, a Jerusalem cross, and more. And these patches, I mean, every one of these could sell for at least $5. You know, typically I was just on vacation and seeing patches that were like $15-$20 a piece. I know, because they were too excited, I didn't want to buy them. These, you get five patches included, which alone is worth more than the cost of the entire thing. So, I mean, the deal of this is just incredible. And the patches are cool in and of themselves. The Betsy Ross flag, we have a very strict gun control policy. If there's gun around, I want to be in control of it. Don't tread on me. And of course, the Jerusalem flag. And they just Velcro right there to the front, and you can stylize it, use your own patches if you want. But again, these patches, I mean, you can tell they're stitched. I mean, these aren't cheap, like, print-on type things. These are very well-made, just like everything we have is extremely well-made. And like I said, if you're not on the fanny pack train, you're missing out. You're missing out. They, seriously, fanny packs are more useful than you know. And I always carry one. This obviously is a concealed carry one, so it's specifically made to carry your gun. So it's easy access, which is another thing, right? Like, probably most people listening to my voice have guns, but do you have them in a place where they're accessible, where you can actually get to them when you need them? Are you ready to be a hero like those 2A activists in, or is it Idaho, at the Idaho In and Out, who stepped up and stopped a mass shooting in progress because they were armed, ready, and well-trained? Are you armed, ready, and well-trained? Well, you need to be, you need to have the equipment to go along with it, and we have the best. It is specifically for, you know, concealed carry, so obviously that's going to be the, you know, the best way to use it, but you don't need to have a gun. You know, it's just a good fanny pack at the end of the day with these cool patches. Extremely well-made, extremely versatile and useful, and just kind of cool looking. And I just like how it looks. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com, get the new Liberty Concealed Carry Pack while you can, because it is going to sell out very, very soon. Discreet, versatile, you can wear it around your waist, your chest, your shoulder, all of that for just $39.99, and that includes those five patches, which would sell for $39.99 themselves, but are simply the add-on. And of course, if you're a VIP member, you get even more discounts. You get that $10 a month to spend on this. So you can really get that price down. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. And again, that number to dial if you want to call in is 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. While we let the calls come in, and guys, we can bring up a call screen, then I can, oh yeah, and we're doing new callers, first-time callers today. We love our regular callers. We get a lot of repeat callers, and we love you guys, but today, we're looking for new callers. So if you've never called in, or if you've called in and we're not able to get on air, give us a call now, 512-266-0642. And I'm going to talk about immigration just a little bit more because it all's tied in together, right? We were just reading about the golden age of living with your parents, the golden age of having a job but still not being able to afford a house, the golden age of Trump building a surveillance grid but not actually using it to go after criminals. It ain't going well, folks. CIS.org found that 51% of legal immigrants and 61% of illegal immigrant households rely on a major welfare program. We can reasonably infer that while Americans struggle, a significant part of the GOP of other countries comes from U.S. welfare dollars. Remittances from the U.S. make up a large part of Latin American and Caribbean economies, with LAC remittances as a percentage of GOP. And so each country here, you can see, these are the remittances that are coming from America in blue, and it's absolutely massive. That's this one over here. There it is. I did like this from Geraldo Rivera. He says, expelling Haitian migrants is sending them straight to hell. But they came from there. So what you're saying is these migrants from hell must be sent back. Is that what you're saying? When you're saying they're sending them to Haiti would be sending them to hell, you're saying the place they came from is hell. What you should be saying is expelling Haitian immigrants is sending them straight back to hell. Back to hell. He was missing the word back there. And this represents the, you know, deliberate plan that, you know, is bringing all of this about from Christian Hines. The pension and welfare model that virtually all Western nations built in the 20th century will collapse in the 21st. That model relied on several assumptions that are all breaking down at once. One, the economy and tax base would grow fast enough to support expanding commitments. Two, there would always be many more workers paying into the system than retirees drawing from it. Three, the cost of each beneficiary will remain manageable relative to the income of each worker. Conservative politicians have tried to put off the system's final reckoning with immigration, and leftist politicians have tried to put it off with tax hikes. But tax hikes simply eat into the productive base that feeds the system, and you can only import so many highly skilled, high-earning, high-IQ immigrants before you begin mass importing a bunch of welfare leeches that eat into the system rather than help feed it. We're approaching the limits of both. It's only a matter of time until the math breaks down, and you see the same sort of crisis beginning to paralyze every Western nation, seemingly all at once. And again, you can't help but notice that it's on purpose. It's not exactly an accident. It's not exactly like they didn't know what they were doing when they set up our entire welfare system to be a Ponzi scheme that necessitated the impossibility of infinite growth. It actually wouldn't be a big deal if we didn't have that poison pill, the heart of our society. In other words, okay, the birth rate drops a little bit. Okay, not the worst thing in the world because people live a lot longer now. Kids live through childhood 99% of the time. You know, you don't necessarily need five kids per family just to maintain population like you may have needed 100, 200 years ago. So, okay, as you become more modern, as you become more technologically advanced, you get more poisons in the food and water, so you're a little less healthy, maybe your fertility goes down a little bit, maybe you're putting off having a family for a little longer because women are getting educated and want to go through school before they settle down. Okay, fine, your birth rate lowers a little bit. It wouldn't actually be that big of an issue, except suddenly not enough people are paying into the pension Ponzi scheme, so suddenly it's short couple dollars, so you need to bring in some immigrants. It turns out they just go on welfare, don't even pay into the retirement funds, are only a further drain. And so what's happening in every single European country? They're raising the retirement age. Yeah, we brought over a bunch of migrants to, you know, pay for your retirement, but then they all went on welfare. So now you have to pay for their existence and work until you die. You think it's an accident? You think these people are so dumb they didn't know that was going to happen? they deliberately set about a program of depopulation to encourage people not to get pregnant and have kids. So, what the hell? Anyway, it's really not all that complicated. It's pretty simple. It's all pretty simple. Before we go out to call, should we do a quick little tour? Should we do a little tour of Europe? I mean, Europe's farther down the line than we are in some ways. I mean, I could show you a lot more videos in America of teen gatherings, teen get-togethers, as they call them. Here in America, we're sort of worse than Europe in a lot of ways. But it's been an interesting day or so in Europe. So let's take a look. First, we'll go to clip number 4 here. This was a police officer who was stabbed in Toulouse during an incident involving a suspect reportedly shouting, Allahu Akbar. Let's go to clip 4 now. Okay. All right. So you have a terrorist attack in France. So there you go. Tackle him down. Good. Could have done that at the border. But that's fine. All right. France is one terrorist attack down there. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is a British woman being arrested for recording a migrant hotel near her home. Let's watch clip 11.
I am videoing. Okay. Right.
Can I have a chat?
You can't, because you've got dementia.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why mum can sit down.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to have to lock the door because she'll be out.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm a main carer, yeah?
Is it you meant that's inside?
Yeah.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's...
Yeah,
yeah, okay. I'll just have to keep an eye on her.
Okay. Gail, times 12, 21, 29, okay?
Yeah.
And you're currently under arrest, okay, under section 21 of the Federal Code, okay?
What's that for?
I'm going to tell you now.
Go on.
It's for recording and distributing a recording with the intent to cause racial hatred, okay?
I'm not racist.
You don't have to say anything, but it may have a defence. If you do not
okay.
mention one question, something which you don't
Right, I need report. To get someone to help
anything,
me, Mum.
Anything you do, say maybe give me an evidence.
Can I have all your numbers, yeah?
Of course you can, that's fine.
That's
3903.
And that one, darling. I know you're doing your job, but at the end of the day,
I understand that.
I'd heard about the institute. And I went straight down, and I was that wound up. It was oh.
Don't need to talk about it now.
All right.
385.7.
But if I'd and then I was told after that there was someone there. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have gone down.
No, I know. Okay. Listen, we'll get to the bottom of it. Is it?
Girl, you're gonna have to obviously turn your phone off now.
No.
All right. So that's a woman in the UK, apparently caring for her dementia-ridden grandmother who is now arrested, or mother who's now being arrested for simply filming and posting a video of the migrant hotels. All right, terrorist attack in France, people being arrested for simply noticing the invasion in England. Let's go to Switzerland. Switzerland's been able to avoid this sort of stuff, right? Clip 13, here's a Zurich police parade. A street parade. Let's watch. Huh. Not exactly the picturesque Swiss mountain time town you might expect. It actually looks more like a bazaar in Calcutta. Okay, so France, England, Switzerland, it's very diverse, you might say. You could say that it's very diverse. That would be one way to put it, I suppose. All right, so it's not wasn't a great day in Switzerland, not a great day in France, not a great day in England. Should we check on Germany today? Clip 38, people clash in a running street fight in broad daylight in Durin, Germany, as bystanders watch and react. Let's watch. Beautiful Germany, Deutschland. You know, you think of Deutschland, you think of chocolate and Lederhosen. Dirndls, and Arab men punching women in the face while holding machetes. This fight was between machetes and axes, and actually it got brutal and bloody, and some of the footage is actually not fit for TV. Yeah, you know, it's just really not going well. But it's okay. You know, they know how to do things. They will arrest people. In fact, there may be a little bit of a misnomer, a little bit of confusion, because there's a double standard in Britain for arrest. White people, even when they're stabbed, you know, they'll be the ones arrested if they just say there's a racist incident. But it's not as clear cut as that, as we're about to see. There is a situation in which black people will be arrested. Now, not usually. In fact, we got, you know, how about clip 48 here? Street altercation shows a woman being struck with an object before fighting back, and then she gets arrested by the police. So let's watch clip 48 here. So you can see a woman, that woman in the black dress, is being hit in the head by some black guy with some giant object. I'm not even sure what it is. Actually stands up for herself. Nobody's helping her, right? Nobody comes to her rescue. Nobody comes to her aid. Just the individuals around. And then the cops show up and arrest her and put her in handcuffs. And they never seem to notice the fight while it's the black person attacking the white person. As soon as the white person fights back, boy, do they jump to action. And yet we've seen like, what, 4 or 5 videos this month just like that? We played a series of them about 2 weeks ago. Multiple instances just like that. White guy standing there, black person comes up, attacks them. The white person fights back. The white person gets slammed to the ground and arrested by police, and the black person gets let go. This is literally like a daily thing at this point. Completely and utterly insane. And every time, the cops show up like magic the instant the white people fight back. Never before. We can go to clip number 50 here. This is police detaining a young man who just bought a newly purchased baseball bat. It's still sealed in its packaging. So in England, I guess it's illegal to carry around a baseball bat, but it's legal to buy a baseball bat. So you can buy a baseball bat at the store. It's just if you try to carry it home, the police will attack you. So let's watch clip 50.
Why are you filming it?
I'm meeting my friends.
Do video. Many videos out of town.
And again, this video goes on for a while, but they... Yeah, they pretty much violently arrest the guy, and he's just refusing to allow it, and the cop is too weak to actually do anything. You know, if he actually wanted to use the bat, probably get away. But, I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, you see this, you know, young white guy walking down the street with a backpack and a baseball bat. I mean, obviously, he's on his way to commit a hate crime. He's on his way to bash some packy in the head. And that's the only thing he could possibly be doing. And obviously, that's what he's doing. I mean, we see it every day, right? Every day, you have these young white guys hunting down brown people and beating them with bats. So, you know, it only makes sense that the cop would just assume that that's the only possible thing he could be doing with his baseball bat. And again, just the patheticness of UK police. Oh, there's a dude with a giant cross. That's cool. So, sure, Muslim gangs walk around with machetes, and when police find them, they simply politely ask them to take the weapons back to the mosque. You know, we've seen videos like that many times in the past. You know, Muslims walking around just literally assaulting people with bladed weapons, bats, pieces of wood. Nothing gets done to them. But if you dare to be a white guy who's into sports, you will be held down. You will be arrested and punished. But like I said, it's not always that simple. It's not always that clear cut. There is an instance in which the UK police will arrest a non-white person. We have found one. We have identified one. It's not the rape gangs. It's not the brutal assaults. It's not having weapons or planning terror attacks. But there is one thing that they will arrest black people for. Do you think you can guess what it is? Let's go to clip 47 now. Enter your guesses below.
Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and after 3 days later was raised back to life. I want to let you all know today that the reason why I'm being arrested is because I'm preaching the name of Jesus. The reason why I'm being arrested is
That's right, folks. We found the one thing that the police in the UK will arrest a black African for. It's preaching the Bible. A street preacher, a black man, a street preacher standing on the corner in the UK preaching the Bible, telling people that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for their sins. He gets arrested. Street preacher Nesse Jesse Nagoma has been arrested in London simply for preaching the Bible. They even switched off his speaker and took his Bible out of his hand. This is anti-Christian persecution. So just so you're aware, this is not as clear-cut as black versus white, okay? It's white people and anybody who likes white people or the stuff that white people like Christianity or anything good in the world, okay? So just so we're clear of how Europe is doing these days. Nice little tour of the continent, I think. With that, we'll go out to your calls. We go to Cameron in Indiana first. Wants to talk about Flock and the state of the world. Go ahead, Cameron. You're on the air.
Hey there. Yeah, I've started noticing those cameras a lot more because I drive for work, and I started seeing them. I'm in the Indianapolis area right now, and there's not as many as I've heard other areas have, but knowing that, I don't trust them with that kind of power at all because, like you've been saying, and I've heard it referenced, third parties get that data. I think Israel is even one of them. Yeah. So who knows who's looking at it? Anybody can look at it without a warrant, without any authorization, or they just put in some cockamamie reason, or sometimes they just put NA and they look at whatever they want.
Yep.
So, you know, factoring that in with all these data centers and stuff, who's going to end up with all these data centers when that bubble breaks? Because we have too many. They're built on debt.
Yeah.
So who's going to end up with all these data centers that have all this storage and processing capability? Somebody's going to buy them for pennies on the dollar, or the government's going to take them.
Well, why would they need that much processing power if not for creating basically, and you know, we actually have it here. This is from Brian Remley on X. Harvard and MIT researchers simulate the entire planet with 8.3 billion AI personas. And it basically creates a facsimile of the real world that you can then, you know, do inputs and manipulate and test, you know, theories on how to, you know, sway the public. But like, if, you know, why build all of these data centers, the size that they are, the quantity that they are, the only thing it could possibly be for is to parse and calculate and create databases for all this information so they can control us, right? I mean, there's no other reason, is there?
So, because there's one going up here in Lebanon. It's gigantic. And I pass it every once in a while. It's the construction site's open 24 hours a day. It's a massive facility. I'm not sure how many acres it is, but it's much larger than some of the other ones that that I've seen. But, I mean, you know, if the U.S. is in play, I don't think you can have a one-world government, honestly. So these people that are running all these things have a very high interest in destroying the United States, unfortunately. And you can see it with all this different stuff like the unchecked immigration, the just allowing criminals to run loose on purpose, like the judges and the DAs and all these people who purposely don't prosecute. Because they want the outcome that they're getting.
100%. Could not agree with you more. And you know, I typically kind of take a sarcastic view of most things, but like this is one where like I probably shouldn't even joke about, because like people need to understand the seriousness of what is being built. They are literally building a digital cage. They're not doing that for no reason, right? They're not going to use it to stop crime. They're not using it to deport aliens. They're going to use it against you. It's not that complicated, but they're building it now while the Republicans are in power, but the Democrats will get it next.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo. Sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, final segment of the War Room is on. We'll go out to your calls here momentarily. In fact, we'll just go to your calls right now. We've got Chris. We've got a couple Christophers. We've got Christopher in Arizona first. Go ahead, Christopher in Arizona. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me, Harrison?
I hear you fine. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Yeah, I just like I told the receptionist, I just wanted to commend you on your articulation. I think you're hitting on what probably all of your listeners feel at this point. And to touch on the engineer and scientist influx into the European nations.
I just wanted to
tell everybody who's going through that, not just over there, over here too in some places, we all know where, try to be like Lola Moyer, the famous Scottish girl, Scottish folk hero. And once again, I just wanted to say good job. You, Rex, and Alex are just hitting all the points that I think a lot of us are feeling, but some of us aren't able to put it into the kind of explanation and detail that you guys do. I just want to thank you for all of that and the crew too. The crew is awesome.
Well, thank you. Yes, our crew is fantastic. And, you know, if nothing else, I hope that that is a service you appreciate, because I know, you know, we can make change a lot. You know, we've had some major successes, but at the end of the day, if we do nothing other than just be the voice of people out there and give you some relief, knowing like you're not the only one that sees this, you're not the crazy one here. Actually, this is you're exactly right about the way things are going and how it's being done. And there's at least one outlet that tries desperately to express that. You know, if nothing else, I think that's valuable psychologically to, you know, keep up the fight. And just on that note, I have this, which I thought was brilliant. This is from Mitochondrial Eve on X. And it's talking about basically the problem and the greatness of white people. Like they're sort of tied in together in a complicated way. She says, the Anglo has a unique ability to persevere in the face of persecution without complaint. Our stiff upper lip Calvinism may have built empires, but in a world where we're surrounded by invaders, that attitude has limited utility. There are dads out there writing $15,000 checks so their kids can go to public, can get out of the public school and go to a private school instead. There are moms out there spending hours upon hours every day homeschooling because they feel they have no other choice. And while they're doing it all with a wholesome golly gee whiz smile on their face, while the institutions their ancestors built are filled by invaders and funded from their pockets, we don't have to live like this. Life should be better, easier, more enjoyable, especially for families. The schools should educate. The streets should be safe. The trains should run on time. We should be angry that your parents are growing, or that your children are growing up in the ruins. It's well past time for keep calm and carry on. Dear Saxon, it's time to hate. It's far past time to hate. And this is what I struggle with and talk about all the time. Is this just like, in a weird way, it's like the modern expression of white supremacy is white people not thinking they're in trouble. That's like, that's the only place it's manifested. Yeah, and this is maybe the best tweet ever written. The father of seven has not finished a thought in 4 years. He's just moving, feeding, driving, wiping. His brain is soup and his back is finished. He has no opinions about civilization. He's too tired for opinions. And meanwhile, civilization is growing out of him like he is dirt, and he doesn't even notice because there's milk on the floor again. The child free man has read 11 books this year about the decline of the West, and he is the decline, and the books are the evidence, and he will understand that at 58 in a room that is very clean and very quiet. I think that's brilliant. And then next it says, lots of Christian fathers working hard jobs, keeping their heads down and feeling like they're hiding who they truly are from DEIHR, feeling like frauds. But back home, hidden in plain sight, their kids are nourished and disciplined until one day, their little kids swagger out of their cozy childhood home as 6-foot adults and vindicate dad. Well, we can hope. One can hope. But already it's not looking great. And again, it's just what white people need to learn is just like, you need to complain. You need to enforce your will. Like, you just need to like not be okay with being taken advantage of. When your school starts teaching ridiculous crap, you don't leave. You don't just abandon it. You don't just go, well, that's what they're doing, and you know, you just have to go along with it. No, you step up. You demand that they stop teaching it. And if they don't stop teaching it, then you start a protest. And if the protest doesn't work, you get elected, or you just, you know, impose yourself upon them. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I feel like we have forgotten that. And in a way, it is. It's like one of our family mottos, Smith family, suffer in silence. We have some good ones and some bad ones, but one of our favorites is suffer in silence. And that's good to a certain degree, but then there's a point to where suffering in silence is no longer a virtue. You're just allowing yourself to be victimized. And we have to stop. We have to stop it. No one else is going to stop it. There's not going to be an equilibrium reached where you're half Muslim and half British and everybody just goes, okay, well, you do you and we'll do us and that's it. Yeah, how about we go from keep calm and carry on to freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might. That'd be a good changeover. Thank you so much for the call, Christopher. Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, no, that was about it. You pretty much hit it.
Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate your support, and hopefully we do a good job of expressing things. Let's go now to Bill in Oregon. Bill, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you, Harrison. Something about those flock cameras. It's only a matter of time before the cops murder someone on the side of the road.
Well, exactly.
By getting caught up in what I call the fog of fear.
Mm.
Because they're taught that the traffic stops are one of the most dangerous things that police can do during their job. And they're going to see some guy holding his wallet or a cell phone or some senior with a cane, and they're going to get caught up in their fog of fear, and they're just going to shoot him on the side of the road. It's yep. only a matter of time.
I completely agree with you, and that's why I played some of those videos earlier, because you see the cops are approaching, you know, in this case, a car with a child in it, guns drawn, hands, you know, fingers on the trigger. And, yeah, they approach it. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, maybe there needs to be some training for cops. It's like, hey, when you know, there needs to be a note of some sort. It's like, oh, by the way, this is a flock, you know, identification. So approach with caution, right? Like, this may be wrong. Don't take it so seriously. Because, again, I think cops are just sort of treating the flock camera identification like they would treat a legitimate, you know, formerly how they normally did things. Typically, if you're going to be told, hey, that's a stolen car and that person stole it, you're pretty confident in acting on that. But in this case, it's just some flock camera making a mistake, and yet they're still treating it as if it has all of the impact and that it is as legitimate as a normal thing. So, I mean, let me ask you this, Bill. What's the worst part of the flock cameras to you? Because there are so many things to hate. The privacy violations, the threat of violence that comes with it. I mean, to you, is that the biggest threat here? Is that somebody's going to end up being shot dead on the side of the road?
Threat of violence, because they can, you know, cops can't be trusted. Like I said, it's what I call the fog of fear, and they already have the finger on the trigger, which is a big no-no.
Mm-hmm. No, it's extremely dangerous. You also want to talk about forest fires. What's your take on this?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard you talking about that earlier. I'm in Oregon, and right now in Oregon, there's 61 active fires and 2 million acres burned up.
Whoa.
That's just in Oregon. And, you know, not counting what went on in Washington, where there's over 200 homes have gotten burned down. So,
and the one in Washington, is that the recent one where they did arrest an arson suspect?
I think so. And we haven't had any major thunder lightning storm, so which is usually the cause of a lot of the fires out west here. But there hasn't been any lightning storms, unless it's like what they call dry lightning.
Right.
Or something like that. But yeah, 2 million acres just in Oregon so far this year, 61 ongoing active fires.
Yep.
And last thing I wanted to bring up, do you recall a while back talking about the gardener that saw a drone flying over him and his garden? So he did a Freedom of Information request.
I do.
And he got the sheet back from Homeland Security, and they said, you know, it was one unauthorized food production. Well, at the very bottom of that sheet that I've never heard anybody mention that have talked about that case before, it says, food confirmed, proceed with extreme caution. That tells me they're planning to do a SWAT raid on this guy because he's a prepper. He's grown his own food, and preppers, what do they have? They have guns. They have ammunition. He's grown his own food. He has water. So they've already labeled him as a prepper. And it says right at the bottom of that Homeland Security thing, proceed with extreme caution. That tells you they're planning something nasty on this guy, like a SWAT raid for him growing some vegetables.
You know, I haven't even thought about that, but you're exactly right.
It's at the very bottom of that Homeland Security document that he got from Freedom of Information. It's real hard to see. It's at the very bottom, the last thing.
Proceed with extreme. Yeah, well, and I mean, even without that, I mean, the story is crazy already, but that does add another layer to it. And I know in Oregon, they're passing crazy bills where it's this exact type of thing, where it's like if you have a backyard garden, they're classifying you as a farm. And it's like it's illegal to have a farm in residential areas, so you can't have a backyard garden anymore. You can't collect rain on your property. You can't use your water to, water plants that you might want to grow. That guy, I believe, was in Virginia, right, Bill? So, I mean, this is a cross-country thing. We've heard, we know Oregon in particular is the place where a lot of these bills, which are very obvious, like the only reason they could possibly exist is to shut down backyard farming. And the only reason you'd want to shut down backyard farming is because you want people to not be independent of you and you want to be able to control their food system. It's not very sophisticated. It's kind of obvious. There's no other reason for this. It's not like backyard gardens are a giant menace that everybody's clamoring to get rid of. Nobody cares except the government who wants you to be dependent on them. That's happening in Oregon. And that exact, and maybe the crew can find that video. I'd like to play it because you're right. It's one of those videos that we played when it first broke, and I haven't really thought about it since. But when you're talking about flock cameras outside of shooting ranges and drones flying over backyards to identify who's growing food, like, again, these programs are not just for fun. They aren't just doing it because they get a kick out of it. They're preparing things. They're establishing databases. They're gathering data, just like you send out spies to map the terrain before you invade with an army. I mean, this is the preparation for war. And it doesn't look like anything else. So I think that's a great point. And I don't know if the crew can find that or if it's a server on the old, the old office, so it'll be hard to find. But if the crew can find that video of the guy, he was in Virginia. Drones were flying over his house. He did a Freedom of Information Act, and he found that the government had his backyard listed as being under surveillance because he was growing food. Crazy. And God only knows where this is happening and how widespread this type of data gathering is. Thank you so much for the call, Bill. I greatly appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Virginia now, who I think agrees with us as to where all of this is going. Thanks for calling in, Chris. You're on the air.
Harrison, love you guys. My wife loves you too, listens every day. Been listening since 99.
Oh, wow.
Basically, I've been telling, last year, I've been saying on Facebook and everywhere that, that there will be concentration camps for conservatives. And everyone's, hey, you're crazy. You just watch. What's going to happen? It's going to be fun. And, I'm going to laugh and enjoy watching a lot of these limp, complete cowards go to jail that didn't stand up and fight for us or fight for what's right. Or just took money or whatever they did.
Promoted flock, yeah.
When they get back in, they're going to go after, they might go after all the J6 people again.
Well, they wouldn't be able to because of the Supreme Court, right? Except they're going to pack the Supreme Court. They're already talking about doing it. And maybe they couldn't get, laws passed, but they'll just abolish the Senate. They're literally talking about abolishing the Senate. So I'm being sarcastic, they are literally planning. The Democrats are openly stating their intentions to imprison Trump supporters, imprison anybody who ever helped him, and they're planning on getting rid of the Senate, getting rid of the Supreme Court, getting rid of the Electoral College to facilitate that. You believe them when they say that. Now, it is going to be harder in America because we do still have guns, which is why they're trying to weaken us and basically do everything they can to soften us until the big attack. And ideally, they'd rather just have the softening, the crushing, the squeezing of our prosperity and our, freedom until it's just non-existent anymore, which is why we have to wake up and realize we got to change the trajectory. We have to actually intervene in this process, in this course of events, and go a different direction. Otherwise, it's inevitable where this ends up. And think about if they had flock cameras and, laws in place for the next COVID attack. Think if they had it in the last lockdown where they could literally say you're not allowed to leave your home. And if you do, we will scoop you up. And we've cameras on every house and trackers on every car. I mean, you're going to be imprisoned in your home unless you feel like going out and fighting back. And at that point, it'll be good to remember the lines from Gulag Archipelago about loving freedom and loving freedom enough and being willing to fight for it and understanding the systematic process that these things go in. Like, it's not going to be a giant raid where it's like you and all your neighbors are suddenly under attack at once and you can all come together and build a fortification and fight back against the forces. It's going to be a knock on your door and they're going to politely ask you to come with them and you're just never going to be seen again. And no one's going to know. And it's going to be, oh, well, you know, the legal process is taking place and don't worry. And they're going to try to. And so your family doesn't even know, like, well, do we fight back or do we go along with the system? It's going to be like that sort of thing. And they'll take you out and then they'll take your neighbor out and then the neighbor down the street out. And it'll be up to us to actually look around and go, hey, we're under attack here. We have to fight back and resist this. But we're being trained to just go along with it for now. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the way things are going. You have to be training. You have to be preparing for that eventuality. You have to be just psychically, emotionally ready for that to be our future, because without a major change in direction, that's coming, undoubtedly, with everything that we see. Well, what were you saying there, Chris? I could hear you, but I...
That's okay. Hey, I was just going to say one favor, if it's possible, that I would love to have that original music out of... The InfoWars music from the where he had on his program in like 1999 and 2000 that you still play it now. It's the really old computer style sounding music.
I wonder if the crew knows exactly what you're talking about.
It's like the very first theme music he ever had.
Way back. I think you're talking about the helicopter show theme. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
At the end of it, it goes, bow, 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 bow. It's like a pow or something like that at the end. It sounds really old-fashioned, like computer music.
All right, I'm gonna have the crew take that description and try to find something for the outro of the show. You let us know if they got it right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Chris. 1999, that, I don't know if we've ever had a caller that's been listening since 1999. I don't even think I started listening until 2001. This is around September 11th, but that... That's very impressive. Thank you so much for the call, Chris, an old InfoWars head. Let's go to Drew in Colorado now. He has an idea about what to do with the illegals. I've got some ideas, too. Drew, what do you got?
I got a bit of a joke for you about it. It's not going to happen. It's a hypothetical. But first, I'd like to shout out the products. Alex, yourself, the crew, everybody there, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Do you take the products, Drew?
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite?
I take the methylene blue every day along with the Shilajit. Let's see.
Gummies or capsule? How do you take your Shilajit?
Capsules, but I want to try the tincture.
Ah, the tincture. I haven't even tried the tincture. I do the gummies or the capsules. Both are good. Well, thank you very much for your support. Drew, we genuinely cannot do it without you, and I hope you're feeling all the effects of methylene blue. That is some very powerful stuff. And of course, you too, listening to my voice, can go to thealexjonesstore.com and purchase yourself one of our incredible products, and it will change your life. But obviously, didn't call in to plug the products here, although we appreciate it and always like hearing that our products are helping people out. So thank you for that. But go ahead. You want to talk about what to do with the illegals here?
Yeah, so it's a bit of hypothetical, and it would probably take a bit of a tyrant. But we use the flock cameras, round them up, put them in the existing FEMA camps. We don't deport them. We keep them here. We treat them like the Somalis treated their slaves or the Moors in Morocco. Castrate them. Use them to fix the country.
You know, I was with you till that last one. I don't think they need to be castrated, but up till then, I'm 100% with you. I get what you're saying, but...
A bit of a taste of their own medicine, that's all.
Well, look, you know, if good for the goose is good for the gander, but, you're right. And this has been my thing the entire time. I've said since the very beginning, the obvious thing to do to get rid of the illegal immigrants is you go, hey, we're going to give you a flight home totally free. You just come check in at one of our offices in any downtown area around and, you know, just tell us who you are, where you need to go, and we put you on a plane back to El Salvador. We also take your information, get your biometrics, take your fingerprints, make sure that you are not coming back, possibly in any form, but certainly not anytime soon. And we give you a free flight home, meals on the plane, arrivederci, right? Or if you don't want to take our extremely generous offer of flying you back to your homeland where you are a citizen, then you will be arrested and you will be put to hard labor for 10 years. I think that just that alone, I think most people would just go home. I think they'd take the offer. I don't think they would risk. I mean, you see how upset they get just having to be sent back to their home countries. How much do you think they'd like being thrown into a supermax prison for 10 years stamping license plates? We could use their work. We could use their effort. We could use their, you know, contribution to our economy. They just aren't going to earn any money from it. They're going to dig ditches, and we need a lot of ditches. You know, they could. Here's what we do. You take the illegal immigrants, you make them fight fires in the Pacific Northwest. You have them clear out the forests of all of the detritus that causes wildfires to go crazy. How about we use one problem to solve another? I think we could do it. You use the illegal immigrants as construction force to build new housing for Americans. I think that's a brilliant idea. Or, here's another idea, we take over Haiti and send them all there. I really don't know why we don't. I think it's, I actually think it is genuinely cruel to leave Haiti in the hands of a bunch of barbarous murderers. It's like not a situation that America would ever allow until the, you know, until it became offensive to, you know, oppose the wholesale destruction of a country. Like, this was 200 years ago, and what was happening in Haiti now was happening back then. It would be like an obligation for America to go in, provide them some leadership, provide them some organization, build some schools, help them build up. Like, what is the, you know, virtue of just being like, oh, the trash island where a man named Barbecue eats people. That's fine. That's a fine thing to be just off of our coast. Like, why are we allowing this? And why are we sending people? Why are we like trying to make deals with Estonia to send, or wherever, Timbuktu, to send migrants to? Why don't we just send them to Haiti? Why don't we transform Haiti into one giant ICE facility and send them all there? I think that would solve a lot of problems all at once. That's just one humble suggestion for when I'm emperor and we solve all of these problems. It'll take 2 weeks. You give me 2 weeks, I can solve 90% of the problems in America, because 90% of the problems in America are literally funded by American taxpayers, and you can just cut that off and there wouldn't be a problem. Or you could use our expansive, incredible military to actually fight here in America rather than for Israel. Is this it? Is this the theme song? Let's play it. Let's play it out. Where'd it go? It went away. That was it. Wasn't that it?
Broadcasting worldwide.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Alex Jones.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.